I have a very strong reasoning for why a hot dog is not a sandwich, and it's, I feel like it's a very understandable one. If I tell you I'm going to go make a sandwich and I come back with a hot dog, you think I changed my mind.
Yes. Now, if you went and said, I'm going to make a sandwich and you come back with a hoagie.
You're surprised I had a hoagie, that yeah. I had the roll, but you don't think I changed my mind. You just didn't realize the kind of sandwich I was making.
Fair.
Because that's the thing. A hot dog, not a sandwich. And that's I'm sticking to it. Anyway, we're talking about Doctor Who today. Welcome to another episode of Who's My Doctor.
Whoa.
I'm your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
I'm also your host, Cassie, and I'm a little bit shocked and surprised that my co-host sounds...
I smoked a pack today, and now this is how I sound.
Sounds not unlike a Beetlejuice.
Yeah, we've been talking about, because the theater you're working at is doing Beetlejuice Jr., and so we've been talking about it a lot, now the voice is in my head. Quite literally, in fact, it's coming out of my head right now.
Yeah, for those for those of you curious, I have another job again. Hopefully this one sticks for longer than 6 months, but you never know.
Well, we talked about it the other day, but doing the Beetlejuice voice is apropos a little bit, because this is a spooky episode.
Yeah, see, here's my thing is I know that it's called Hyde, and I know in my heart that it has nothing to do with those scary little like hide and seek dolls. Did you, you know what I'm talking about?
I don't think I do, actually.
Okay. So this involves a demonstration, and you get to narrate to the people what I'm doing.
Okay.
So they were little dolls.
Okay. Cassie's getting, assuming the position.
They were little dolls that just looked like this.
Oh, so like in the movie, in, is it Insidious? Where the,
maybe.
Where they're,
I never seen Insidious.
So the premise of Insidious is what's spooky is there's just like stuff happening in the house around this family that they don't notice half the time. So that at one point there's just a child standing in the corner staring at like facing the wall like he's in timeout.
Yeah, they're timeout dolls.
Yeah.
Timeout, hide and seek. The name of it was never something that I paid any ounce of attention to. The only thing that I knew is that my mom had a friend that lived in one of these scariest houses. During the daytime, this house was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Had this big old wall of just window. It had a circular fireplace, these long hall, like one long hallway that led into these like four very good, decent sized bedrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of this very long hallway, the whole house was black and white. So mm-hmm. like very clean, very crisp.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end of this long hallway was one of those little timeout dolls in a pair of blue overalls. And so whenever me and my sister would babysit at night, remember that big wall of windows I talked about at night? This shit was the scariest thing I'd ever seen. That long hallway painted in beautiful white, not at night.
At night.
Reflecting everything from the outside window. It was scary, scary. But that little doll specifically was one, and they all have little bells and stuff on them too. So when you move them, or if they move themselves, God for fucking bid.
That's why you put the bells on them, so you know when they're coming.
Yeah. It's so I don't think that this episode has anything to do with those,
mm-hmm.
but because I have been thinking about them lately, my algorithm went, oh, you want something kind of scary? And I went, no, I would not like something scary, algorithm. No, thank you. And it went, here's a video of a girl that's babysitting and she hears little tinkling bells in the pitter patter of feet, even though the kids are asleep. No thanks. No thank you. I don't care if the video is real. I don't care if it's fake. I do not want that. If you are not of God, get out of my house.
All right, I'll leave.
I know. I did hear that that was a refrain you can say if ever you're, if you feel like you are under threat of a evil, unlikable spirit, is to just say, if you're not with God, get out. Which I also am going to scream at people on the street that are making me a little worried.
But you're very firmly convinced that has nothing to do with the episode.
Well, now I have. Now I think otherwise. Because if it's called to hide, the only answer then is that there is something that they are seeking.
Well,
you don't call something hide. And then I know from the thumbnail on what used to be Doctor Who on HBO Max.
Oh, yeah, because it's gone now.
As of recording this, you cannot watch what we are watching now. So our podcast
is a little tougher to watch. Like we got to have someone who either like really likes Doctor Who and remembers the episodes or has the Blu-rays like I do.
So sorry, friends.
We will keep you posted if it's streaming somewhere in the future.
You can still watch the classic stuff on Tubi.
Yeah.
And then 13 and up on Disney.
Yeah.
I think
14 and up on Disney.
14 and up. Excuse me.
Yeah, 13 unfortunately was on HBO Max. So we're missing now 9 through 13 is unavailable to stream anywhere unless you're in the UK. But if you're not in the UK,
or if you have a VPN,
Well, even then, I think the service they use in the UK requires you to be a tax-paying British citizen.
Those cheats. Well,
because the BBC is funded by taxes. And so you part of like you pay for the BBC with your taxes, therefore you get the BBC online.
I thought you could still just stream the BBC network, like their streaming thingy with the VPN.
To my knowledge, I'll be honest, I don't
know.
So
here's the thing. All you got to do is become a British citizen, pay your taxes, and you can watch Doctor Who. Simple.
Since you're convinced that's not what's in the episode, let's talk a little bit about what is in the episode.
I'm thinking otherwise now, but continue.
With the Cassie Profassi today.
Okay.
The first one's a little easy, although I guess my pocket decided to make it a little goofy. This story takes place inside a commonly haunted location.
Okay.
What do you think that might be?
Okay.
Is it A haunted house, B, a haunted hospital, or C, a haunted hotel, or as my pocket decided to make it, a haunted hotel. Poop, pee, pee, pee plans.
Hmm.
I'm just going to say it's actually supposed to be a haunted hotel, not a haunted hotel. Poop, pee, pee, pee plans.
Okay. So it was house, hospital, or hotel.
Yeah, I picked three H's. I thought it was fun.
What would have been the fourth?
I don't know, like a haunted hostel.
Okay.
A haunted Hoobastank concert.
A haunted Holy Grail. Because we already had a hotel episode not too long ago.
Yeah, that was just last season.
That was a scary.
That had a minotaur in it, not a ghost.
Well, yeah, but it was still like suspenseful.
Yeah,
scary.
For sure. So we had a hotel episode recently.
I'm trying to remember on the thumbnail, there was like, help me. On green wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to lean how. Now, when you say haunted house, do you mean this is a residence that is haunted or this is a walkthrough maze that is actually haunted?
I mean exactly what I said. It is a house.
Okay, so it is a haunted place.
Yeah, it is only going to be one of those three things. I'm not giving you, this isn't a trick question.
Well, I'm also just checking because, like, at least for us, exclusively us in this very house, when you say haunted house, we do not instinctually think, oh, this is a place where somebody once lived. It is a maze.
Yeah, no. I mean, this would be the kind of place that a ghost hunter might show up, not like a theme park attraction.
Okay, I'm gonna say haunted house then.
Haunted house.
Because I don't think we've had a haunted house in a second.
Yeah, I mean, the closest you get is, I guess, the kid's closet that was haunted by creepy peg dolls.
Yeah. The haunted dollhouse. But even still, that's a dollhouse.
Yeah, for sure. And even then, it wasn't really haunted. It was just there was a kid who was an alien with magic powers.
Yeah. So I'm going to say haunted house. I'm going to be really delighted if it's a hospital. I always like haunted hospitals.
I mean, it would be fun to have the doctor in a haunted asylum.
Yeah. Are you trying to tell me that that's the answer?
I'm not trying to tell you anything. All right. Well,
just because like green wallpaper is typically not synonymous with.
Yeah, no, it's not typically synonymous. And you seem to have retained that information. So that is your only real hint.
Yeah. Unless it's like a children's hospital. Where, you know, there are like butterflies painted on the walls.
You lock it in house.
Now I'm talking myself out of it. I'm going back to episode
one of Cassie's famous blunders, talking herself out of things.
Yeah, I'm going back to episodes like 1 through 30.
slightly less well-known, is getting involved in a land war in Asia.
Huh?
That's The Princess Bride. I forgot you haven't seen The Princess Bride.
No,
yeah.
I haven't. Take that, podcast listeners. I've never sat down to watch Princess Bride.
a whole lot of pearls just got clutched in that moment.
I know. I mean, stay tuned. That might change on a different podcast. I'm locking in house.
Locking in a haunted house. All righty.
Yeah.
This next one's going to require you to use your noodle a little bit. But I think knowing how much you like ghost hunter type shows, you might be able to
swim
through this pool I wrote here a little bit. So this episode features a ghost hunter who has proof of a ghost in this house through pictures taken at different points in time. However, even for a ghost, something is odd about that ghost's presence on film.
Huh.
What do you think that might be?
Cool. You did give me the answer of house, so thank you for that.
Oh, fuck. Well, I'm glad you locked it in before I said that. So you already get a casting for passing point for house.
Woo! Okay.
I should have said this location. Damn it. I did not think through that the wording of that question at all. Whoopsie. I a boo-boo the fool.
Could you imagine if I went back and said, you know what? Hospital. Okay, so what characteristic about this ghost is different?
Yeah, this ghost has been taken, like, there's been multiple instances of this ghost in this house where someone's taken pictures of them.
Yes.
But even for a ghost, there is something unusual about the way it shows up in pictures.
Huh, okay. Because most of the time in ghost photos, in any proof of the supernatural, I'm about to lose Zach like tenfold in what I'm about to say.
I mean, I just won't believe any of what you're saying. I'll believe that what you're saying is what happens on shows. I don't believe in ghosts.
It's not just shows. It's everywhere. All you other believers, stick with me. Everybody else, get out.
Everyone else who doesn't believe in ghosts, just sit here and go, mm-hmm, with me.
Rude. Absolutely rude. So most of the time in photos like that, they're either like dark silhouettes. So it's like the outline of, you know, a man like very far away down the hall. Or it is, ew. Okay, there was a picture I just saw like very recently, and it's of like these four kids. There's five kids and there's four that are like all up in front of a tree. And then there's one who's like holding on, like wrapping her arm around the tree and like leaning over. There were only four kids in the photo. That fifth one was a fucking ghost. And you can tell because like she looks transparent. But it's so you are so lucky that I go through this house normally and I light incense and I do my little intentions and I say what I say, because we have a lot of ghosty activity that is at a low.
We just live in a house that was flipped on the cheap. That's all.
Well, no, there are several of us here with dead relatives that I'm like, I'm sure that they're coming by every so often.
I also realize that I'm basically setting up this podcast for us to get haunted like 2/3 of the way through and convince the ghosts exist.
Oh my God. Like that one time the picture flew off the wall.
This is a Chekhov's proton pack.
Oh, that or like Chekhov's K2 meter.
Chekhov's ESPN.
Yeah, Chekhov's dowsing rods. No. Okay, so most of the time, like, photos of ghosts are, like, silhouettes, like, transparent figures, or they are orbs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, orbs of light, stay with me.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm taking what you're saying as writ, even if I don't believe in it. So this is something that shows up in every picture of it. Throughout time, and that's
it's not like a freaky and like
it's unusual even for a ghost.
Okay, can I ask? Am I in the ballpark with what it is? Knowing what I or like saying,
I'm not entirely clear. I'm not entirely clear that I'm picking up what you're putting down.
I'm trying to figure out where the words are. Hold on.
It's like, what would
based off of the evidence that I have put forth and like how ghosts normally appear, is it in the realm of it is something that is unusual looking, or is it like an unusual form?
It is an unusual, I guess I could say it's unusual looking, But it's only okay. unusual looking in the context of all the pictures.
I'm thinking, too, if this is Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm.
May I ask who wrote it?
I don't know if we would know. Give me 1 second.
I'm thinking if it's a Moffat, then there are Moffatisms.
I mean, Moffat was still the showrunner, so a lot okay. of things, so everything had to
well,
go through
him. Well, that's also kind of what I'm thinking about, is if I can relate past writers.
But really, this writer only wrote one other episode for Doctor okay. Who, and that was The Rings of Akaten that we just watched.
Okay, so there wouldn't be any noticeable patterns.
Yeah, no.
But if Moffat is still the showrunner, that does help me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm learning. So then it has to be, this is the spooky episode for the season?
Spooky
in the same realm as, like, how Blink is the spooky episode for that one.
I honestly think a couple of these episodes that are coming up here are not, I don't know if I'd call them spooky, but they're certainly atmospheric in a way that's...
Speaking of spooky, I have a friend who is traveling right now in Ireland and posted a photo of a church... Mm-hmm. with these two angel statues on the top. And I just went, Jennifer, don't blink.
I'm glad I've ruined part of your brain forever. And
only because she's literally she's across the pond. She is in actual danger. Okay. I'm going to say then that if there is something that is unusual about each of these ghosts, it's that they have some kind of very, like, scary face.
Okay.
Like, that's the only thing I could think of, like, if you have... Because most of the time, ghost photos are silhouettes. They might as well be shadows.
Okay. So this is, like, some very defined, like...
Very defined, like, facial features. Very defined features of some capacity.
Okay. I can accept that, for sure.
Like, that's... Without us yammering too much...
Too much longer.
More. Otherwise, it'll be like, oh, they look like... animals.
They look like My Little Ponies.
They look like little gnats flying around.
They look like Chip and Dale holding hands and skipping through the forest.
Each one of them bears a striking resemblance to their own soul animals. Yeah, no. No, we're not doing that.
like, that's not actually ghosts. They're Patronuses from Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Patroni? Doesn't matter.
Patronu? Patronui?
Patronopusses.
A patron we. Okay, yeah, there's something off about them faces.
All right, well, I will go with that then. All right, so let's find out together. Well, we already found out through my poorly phrased question. This does take place in a haunted house. So let's...
I freaking got you by paying attention.
I hate when I get got.
I know you hate when you get got.
I got good.
You freaking smarty pants. Thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. I hate that.
Well, let's at least find out together if these ghosts got spooky faces as we watch Series 7, Episode 9, Hide.
I'll be your guide. I'll be your G-U-I-D-E to the other side.
Of this ad.
Yeah, I mean, I'm writing the ad for this one, so that makes perfect sense. Going to bed alone? Well, you need a Sleep Pal Relis's bedtime buddy. This guy is great. He's hot as hell, very observant, and takes pride in his work. As a certified, not haunted, 100% safe, very legal bedtime buddy, he can guarantee that you will never, ever be alone because he is always with you. Every breath you take, every move you make, he'll be watching you. To make sure you don't hurt yourself, you big silly. He'll keep an eye out for intruders, make sure your sleep is undisturbed, and eat any spare bones you might have growing on you. Scared of the dark? No need to be with your Sleep Paralysis bedtime buddy. His eyes glow a super relaxing shade of blood red to illuminate the space without causing any strain on your delicate human eyeballs. He'll even sing you to sleep with a relaxing lullaby. Ah, so relaxed. Just call 666-666-6669 to adopt your very own Sleep Pal Relis's bedtime buddy today! Thank you.
we are back from Hyde.
Zach.
So what'd you think, Cassie?
Monsters need no friends.
They don't need friends, but they do need to get their beaks wet, so to speak.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't consider that.
Yeah, it's not friends. It's romance. It's fornication. It's like the doctor says, birds do it, bees do it, even educated fleas do it. That lady was running because that monster wanted to fuck.
It was the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Would you like to know what they call it in the credits of the episode?
Please.
It's called the Crooked Man.
No!
They never once say what it is the whole episode. The only place you get a name for it is the credits.
The Crooked Man. It reminded me of, so years ago, my nephew must have been, we'll say 9.
Mm-hmm.
He liked to fuck with us. We would fuck with him. That's just what you do when you have a nephew.
Mm-hmm.
He got it in his head at one point. The Rake Man. He'd be like, Reese, dude, you need to stop. And he'd be like, no, it's the Rake Man. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
The hash-slinging slasher.
Yeah, and there was a day where, like, we were in the backyard. It was a beautiful summer evening. Crickets were going nuts. The trees in our backyard were a little overgrown, so they were a little spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Any rat or anything that would like crawl around and make a noise, you know, the sound of animals jumping through tree limbs, he'd mm-hmm. just go, oh, it's the Rake Man. So that's what the fucking Crooked Man? It's just the Rake Man. I just hate it so much.
Because especially because you get it both on like all fours and kind of standing upright at the end.
It's the way that the entire episode, you just kind of see it's a lolling little head, and it's a little unsettling because it's so smooth.
And they do a few, like, there's a few times where you see it and they've got it like kind of like this blurry.
It's very effect. Much. It's very much that thing of like, I don't know if you ever experience this. I don't know if you ever experience this phenomenon
mm-hmm.
where you just think that you see like a darkened like figure in the corner of your eye or mm-hmm. just like something in the corner of your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes for me, it's like I'll see something very low to the ground and be like, oh, it's one of the cats.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just it's nothing.
Yeah. It's like a bag or
it's a shadow. It's a bag. It's something. A lot of times, like in those sort of like ghost shows, especially in the likes of like adventures, including ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the one thing that they say all the time of like, bro, did you just see? There's like a shadow figure. So they, in this particular fictitious context, yes, did a very good job at having that be like the, well, what if the thing that you see in the corner of your eye is actually this horrible monster man?
Yeah, and like I said, they give it this like blurry effect, so it almost feels like you're looking at like a more horrifying Bigfoot the entire time.
Why it feels like it's in motion at the same time your eyeballs are in motion, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's like when you're trying to focus on the figures in Credit Coaster, but because you're moving so fast, it looks like they're moving even though they are stagnant.
Yeah.
It's like that.
Yeah. Makes sense. But besides the Crooked Man horrifying you to your very core.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate that so much.
Yes, it's a good thing that wasn't.
I hate that so much. Because I made a half-baked joke of like, oh, that's what lives in our backyard. And then Brain went, yes, Cassandra, that is
you just glass-sharked yourself.
Don't go out there at night. The Crooked Man might come out of the ravine.
The Crooked Man might think you're his girlfriend and will want to hold your hand.
It's the fact that he's also just, it's like kind of silly and stupid in the way that he's just like,
oh. Well, especially when you like, when they get just like a close up on his face and he's only got a top jaw. He has no lower jaw.
But he's got so many bones. He's got so many other bones and sticky outy bits.
Bones in places there shouldn't be bones.
Spill like a lobster he got with a man riding on
like
him.
Bone zits.
Or a crab? Maybe it's more like a crab.
But besides the Crooked Man, what'd you think of the episode?
I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I thought I had a feeling that you would. Just the vibe of this episode was...
Because I wrote a note at some... Or jumping into my notes a little bit. It felt very Twilight Zone-y.
Yeah, I would agree with that for sure, especially because the twist is that it's their great-great-great-great-great-granddaughter.
I could give or take the twist. I do like that it's a time traveler that's just stuck
somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I like it a lot. I think that...
And it does something in... Or taking words directly out of your mouth. It does something that only a show like this can do.
Yeah, because in any other show, this... I mean, maybe, like, The X-Files or Fringe could do something like this. Just this, like, person trapped in a parallel universe being chased by a monster. But it's one of those, like, even then, you really have to... They would have to, like, do some effort. And there are beats in this episode that only work in Doctor Who, including what I... So, when I was picking my Zaki Brafacki moment for this...
Yeah.
I had an immediate thought, and then I realized that might count... That you might consider that cheating. And so, if you consider it cheating, I have a backup, like, actual moment. Because one isn't a moment so much as it is, like, a feature of the episode. Because... What I was like, Cassie's favorite thing in this episode.
Do you
episode,
want me to reveal what my, like...
Let me tell you what mine is first. And you,
well, because then I then have the advantage. I can lie.
Well, let me just tell you what my upfront thought is, and you could tell me if you consider
you sure?
that cheating. Yeah, I'm sure, because I feel like you would... I feel like I'm right, but it might... But only if it's not cheating.
I feel like I know you so well. I can tell if you're lying or not.
Well, the thing is, I'm not 100% certain if I'm cheating, but I was 100% certain your favorite thing in this episode is that house. But that might be cheating, because it's not a moment, that's a set.
Yeah, I mean, it's... I feel like it is cheating because it's old house.
Okay. Okay.
Like, you set anything in an old house, and I absolutely... I love it.
Yeah.
So
it was also just like the aesthetic of it, the way a lot of it was like clearly like made of actual wood and not like plywood, the way it was decorated, all the paintings and the
like
statues.
If you really keened in on the like, I think you like the house. I specifically think that you like the one room that is clearly taken over with 70s decor. Then I would say, ooh, spot on. But if you're looking at the house as a whole, then, yeah, of course, I'm going to like old house.
Yeah. So I feel like that might have been counted as cheating. So I do have a backup moment.
It's not cheating. It's just weak. Do better.
All right. Well, let's go with the backup moment here. Why don't you tell me what your favorite moment is? And I will. Well, because I also feel like I could be cheating if you tell me what it is. I'll be like, that's definitely what I put down. I won't do that. But so what was your favorite moment, Cassie?
Oh, well, shit. I didn't even think about that.
I mean, do you want me to tell you what I picked then?
Yeah.
And you just be honest with me?
Yeah.
I specifically wrote it as a picture throughout time, which is that they took...
Oh, man! Yeah, because I did say that out loud.
Well, even that, I had picked it before then. I had picked it because I specifically thought you would like that they just like took one picture in one place for billions of years.
Yeah, because I've always had the thought of if there was any feasible way for me to travel throughout time, that is exactly what I would do. Mm-hmm. Because I, like, not to brag, but I've lived in a... Growing up, I lived in a very old house. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very, very, very old. It was a house that was built during the post-World War II, like, you know...
During the GI Bill days.
Yeah, basically. So yeah. It was effectively... It was very like Lion Estate coded, but there is no like grand entrances anywhere because it was somebody's estate that they sold and built all of these identical houses on. And I've always wondered
what was where your house was back before it was a
what
house.
Because it was very much, I think I can expose, it was... Once farmland. Mm-hmm. So I've always had the thought of what did this look like when it was farmland?
There's a big old pumpkin. It's just a bunch of pumpkins where my house was.
It's just a big old pumpkin. Yeah, but I've always had that thought of like, damn, what did this look like? And I went to a school that was also very old because the school was built in the 60s. Mm-hmm. The property, though, had been there since the 1890s, I think.
Wow.
Yes. Very old. The high school is shut down now, so it's not a high school anymore. It's a grade school now.
Yeah.
But the property is still as it was. There's still the house that was built on that property in the 20s. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you saying old house is like fucking course, because like my favorite old house is Villa.
Anyway, that it wasn't like a moment that was a set. And so I was like, I don't know if this counts or not, but I really feel strongly that Cassie's going to love this house.
But I definitely have had the thought on several occasions of if I could go through time and just see these like landmark places,
mm-hmm.
I would.
Yeah, especially because in this context where he goes all the way like billions of years ago, this is the part where he was like, you could find out if like a dinosaur lived there.
You could see if there was like a little dino residence.
There was like a little dino Cassie. And her dino and her dino sister and her dino brother.
Oh my god, could you imagine? Oh my goodness. I mean,
a little Velocicassie.
Velocicassie. Velocinel. Velociristopher. Oh my god. I'm gonna draw my own fan art now because hey, nobody knows what my siblings look like, and nobody better look it up.
But I'm picturing like a velociraptor wearing your like rose tinted glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, you get a put.
I get a tacky point.
I don't know if you're keeping track of
yours. I get a tacky point. I think I'm only like three, but I've only done so many of these.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the cast going on besides our main two, including the world's sexiest ghost hunter?
Yeah. I'm really.
I don't know if that was genuine or a bit.
That was genuine, but it was a bit. Sure. Why not? I was going to say, I'm really glad to hear you say that because I kept on thinking, this man's like really hot. And like, I don't know if I'm saying that because like I have a daddy complex or if this because like this is an older distinguished man who's wearing glasses and is surrounded by all of this tech and is very smart and passionate about what he does. And those are all things I find absolutely like,
I mean, he's a distinguished Scottish gentleman in a slutty little tweed suit with a perfect jawline that's got its little stubble over it. Like, I don't know. I don't think that's just you, Cassie. I'm pretty sure that's, if you looked up sexy in the dictionary, that's the picture next to it. They even gave him slutty little glasses.
Oh my God, I love just little glasses.
I mean, I don't know if have you ever seen the movie Ever After with Drew Barrymore?
That's one of my, so fun fact. So when I said that I've never sat down to watch Princess Bride.
Mm-hmm.
That's another movie I've never sat down to watch as well. The caveat with both of those is that those are two of my sister's favorite movies.
Okay, because so that's the main guy in Ever After.
Okay, because I have no memory of that. Mm-hmm. I have seen those movies in pieces, broken up over like 25 years
mm-hmm.
or whenever they came out.
Yeah, so you've probably seen clips of hovering around the place. Yeah,
I absolutely have.
About.
I just remember specifically Ever After. That's one where Drew Barrymore has the cute little like white angel dress.
Yeah, I believe so. Yes. Yeah. About 20 years before this episode, he was the main guy in that movie. He's a very attractive man. He's got a good accent, like a nice Scottish brogue.
He had a Harrison Ford quality about him.
Yeah, definitely.
Is the fucker in Jurassic Park that I'm thinking about?
Sam Neill?
Yes.
Like Sam Neill's actual accent is what you're referring to?
No, just like in vibes, looks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that a little bit.
That same like professor daddy.
Yeah, they definitely have a very like similar like scruffy doctor who gets in the dirt.
It's somebody who is like, how do I describe it? Because it's a quality that I aspire to have where it's like you're so entrenched in a job that you simply existing doing your job is like the most attractive thing in the entire universe. I want that quality so bad.
Yeah.
My job just requires me to have safety pins on me at all times and looking down at a binder, but you know,
I really like him. It's kind of funny to think that I think they had to set this in 1974 because if they had set this in modern day with modern day ghost hunters, it would just be like Zach Baggins and a TV crew and the doctor's like interrupting their filming day,
which would also be so fucking funny. Oh my God. And then not Vivian Kensington.
Yeah, not Vivian Kensington. So the gentleman's name is Doug Ray Scott. Which is, I don't know how he
went. Ray Scott or Gray Scott?
His name is Doug Ray. D O U G R A Y.
Doug Gray.
Yeah, Doug Gray Scott, which so has he's got somehow got three first names in two names. I don't know how that happens. Doug, Ray, and Scott.
One of my college professors had three names like that, too. So much so that in a sketch, I gave the three bros all three of his names. It was awesome, man.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, thanks.
And then her name is Jessica Rain, which is a great name.
Jessica Rain. She's so cute.
Yeah, she's very cute. She Empath does a great Emma. Job. It's interesting because the thing that I think she's best known for, you haven't seen, but you will pretty soon. Because
Naked Gun.
So before the 50th anniversary, they released a movie about the making of Doctor Who, starring the first Doctor, called An Adventure in Space and Time. And the woman that made Doctor Who is a woman named Verity Lambert, and she plays Verity Lambert in that movie. So we will. So that's the thing I think she is most well known for, is two things in Doctor Who.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So I look forward to us getting to that. We'll get to that before the 50th. That will be part of our build up to it for sure. And then that's really just those four for most of the episode. Like, Hill is like there, but she only really shows up in like the last 10% of the episode.
She's a ghost.
She's a ghost for most of it.
She's a ghost with the scary making face and reaching hands out.
Yeah, you make a good point, Cassie.
Most should forget that.
When I had asked the question, what I had intended was for you to say that she's in the same position in every picture, because she's trapped in slowed down time, and so you're only getting one frame across all this time. But when they see the pictures, you do in fact see a big old like a Scream face. It looks like the mask from Scream.
Or if I may be so
ghost face.
Eloquent.
Sorry, ghost face from Scream.
Yeah, if I can be so eloquent in what I've said in my notes. Something freaky with them face.
I'm sorry. Can you repeat that? I don't think we got that properly for the stenographer.
Yeah, of course. So there was something. I was assuming that there were going to be multiple ghosts.
Okay.
So what I wrote was something freaky with them faces.
I mean, it's multiple pictures, so it could still be multiple faces, just the same face in every picture. And you're right. Something freaky that way comes.
Yeah.
So it was a haunted house, and you were correct. There are some freaky little faces on those pictures.
Very scary faces. Did not like. Negative points.
It's funny that you mentioned earlier that this episode felt like a little bit of a Twilight Zone episode to you, because this episode was inspired not by the Twilight Zone, but it was inspired by the same era of television. In the UK, they had a man by the name of, I think it was Nigel Need. I'll make sure I'm getting it right. Nigel Neal. Nigel Neal wrote a lot of science fiction TV shows. I think many series might be more accurate, but he was heavily inspired by like George Orwell in the same way that I'm blanking on Twilight Zone creator's
Rod
name.
Serling.
The same way that Rod Serling was. Thank you. And so there's a lot of that same oeuvre with him. So this episode was specifically inspired by the Quartermass experiment and something called the Stone Tape. The Stone Tape is most interesting to me because it actually posited its own theory about what ghosts are, and that is that they are recordings of the past being presented to people in the present. and so that you can see how that specifically inspired this episode. So if I just feel like that's something up your alley for sure.
Well, yeah, because you're just going to roll your eyes, but some ghosts are unintelligent hauntings, which means
they're cavemen.
Well, no. It's like Gettysburg is really good. Like there's just a lot that happened in that space, and that energy has just been like stuck in that space, which is why you see soldiers in uniforms. And, you know, that's why there's a lot of hauntings that are specifically like, from way off in the past. You don't really hear a lot about like any haunting that is more modern is because something really tragic and horrible happened where it was like, oh, a woman was murdered in her bed and now she's crying out for help because she's literally just
it's just that
moment. There was that heightened energy that has now been stuck in that space.
Let's take it back to the beginning.
Yeah.
Doctor what?
Yeah, this is one of the first times the Doctor and companion show up not in the TARDIS. They just are knocking on the door. We got like a spooky atmospheric, like thunder's clapping and the wind is blowing and it's 11 p.m. at night. And then suddenly there's like a loud knock at the door and it's the Doctor.
He goes, boo.
I'm looking for a ghost. So as the episode gets going, the Doctor reveals that he knows a lot about our little ghost hunter.
I absolutely adore the Doctor, like really geeking out over all of his tech.
Over all of his tech, telling him all the stuff he did during the war. And basically like giving him reason to believe that he's military intelligence and not just a time traveling dweeb.
I want to be a time traveling dweeb.
Okay. I mean, you do travel in time at regular speed and you're a dweeb. You're on a Doctor Who podcast.
Hmm. me thinking I'm a time traveler when I'm flying back home, when I'm flying back from Kentucky to California.
It's the time zones.
Traveling back in time 3 hours.
The Doctor and Clara start just making their little adventure around the house, trying to like figure out what's...
I have beef with that.
Really? Okay.
The Doctor had absolutely no reaction to the statue hall. Hello? Like nothing. Not even like a wince or something to indicate, because Clara wouldn't know.
Like he would poke at it.
Yeah, Clara wouldn't know. Clara would have no idea.
I mean, I will say they were marble statues and...
I don't care.
Maybe if he had lit a match and one of them blew
okay,
it out.
Okay, marble statues? Then what the fuck is the Statue of Liberty if not a...
It's an iron statue, but yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, that's very funny.
No reaction whatsoever to that.
He was too busy being worried about the Crooked Man, which of those is scarier to you, the Crooked Man or the Weeping Angels?
Weeping Angels, still. Crooked Man is, he did nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
He just was trying to hold hands.
He's just ugly.
He's just
the greatest
little...
sin of all, being ugly.
Hey, we all saw Hunchback. Also, did you... Are you perceiving this?
Yes, I'm perceiving this. I'm trying not to make it too loud for the podcast.
I don't care.
But they're making their way around the house and we find things like a music room that has a cold spot in it. That was another one that I had like briefly considered putting in like a contender for Cassie favorite, which was that there was this cold spot
cold?
In the middle. He's like,
warm.
Cold, warm, cold, warm, cold.
No, at that moment is when I was getting very distracted at the fact that he had no reaction to what was right in front of him.
You want the Doctor to constantly be paranoid about statues in every
I'm
episode.
I'm constantly paranoid about statues. Therefore, the Doctor needs to be too.
Vindicate my feelings.
Yeah.
And so the Doctor draws a circle in the middle of the room for some reason.
Never visit that circle ever again.
Yeah, well, I think they're describing that as the...
Well, I take that back. They do kind of visit it again.
Yeah, I believe that's the reality well. Like, that's where that shows up. And so the circle he draws is the circle that starts floating around the room.
Yeah. I mean, there's no clear indication that that's the case, but
it's not super obvious, but it's...
Yeah.
It makes the most sense of what we get in the episode. It's one of those things you don't know, but you could kind of infer.
Speaking of fur, the TARDIS is like a cat.
The TARDIS is like a cat because the Doctor gets his little plan to go take a picture throughout time and try to figure this out. They run over and Clara's like, I still don't think the TARDIS likes me very much. The Doctor's like, yeah, the TARDIS is like a cat, which I mean, it's hopped up onto the couch and interrupted our podcast just a little bit. Not a lot of it, but just a little bit.
I can't say no to him, Zach. You know this.
I know you can't. He's got too cute of a face.
He's the most perfect orange cat in the whole world.
And to think he was going to be left at a bowling alley.
I know.
Can you imagine?
To think that his name was going to be Jameson. Ugh. That's not even a bit. That's the name my sister, like, volleyed for.
Yeah, we can't have him named after whiskey. As we learned, whiskey is the 11th most disgusting thing made by man.
I wonder what the first 10 were.
Probably different men.
What would your top three? What is the worst thing made by man? See, mine was going to be the way that people sound standing up after they've been sitting down for a while. Yeah, I hate it so much. I do it. I don't like it.
I don't know if this counts as made by man, but it's certainly at least partly man-made, which is when you're standing in wet socks. like socks are man-made.
Oh, polyester. Absolutely horrible. Hate polyester. Acrylic. Also hate acrylic.
The show decorating scents.
Oh, no.
The most mortifying thing we have ever seen come from HGTV.
Let's see. What else is something horrible made by man? Vegemite. Vegemite's pretty bad. Like, I'm trying to think of, like, a food.
Racism.
Oh, yep. Oh, slavery.
That's got to be at least number 8.
In that same vein, slavery.
Yeah.
Aspic.
Yeah, not great. Nuclear weapons.
Nuclear weapons are bad. How many is that?
I mean, we gotta be at 10 by now. I wasn't counting.
I think we're at 7.
You know what? One of the 10 things is counting.
Yeah.
Not a big fan of that.
You know what else? The alphabet. Yeah, I think that's 10.
Yeah, we're certainly gotta be around there. And you know what? If it's not, we're not gonna count it because counting's one of the bad things.
That's right. That's right.
They end up going into the TARDIS, and I like that they had a moment that I don't know if you caught exactly, but that when Clara comes in with a little umbrella, she's like, I wish I had a place to put this. And he's like, I do. I have it right. He's like, I thought I had one. I don't know if you remember the pictures I showed you from the first TARDIS.
Yeah.
That had an umbrella stand in it.
I thought so.
What a deep dig.
I mean,
like this, it was a whole bunch of those because it was also he also pulled out the spacesuit that David Tennant wore in The Waters of Mars. Actually, probably he wore that a couple of times.
Yeah.
So it was one of those where it's like, I think it brings out my eyes.
I think it hurts my eyes.
That I really like his statement of we're going always because they're like, we're not going to leave this spot. In fact, we're going to travel. But we're not leaving this spot. And so Clara's like, so when are we going? And he's like, we're going always. Clara's like, that doesn't make any sense. And he goes, because that's not a proper sentence. And he goes, well, there's a verb in it. That feels like some me bullshit.
I do really like, and something that I know that we've brought up in the past, but I will reiterate it again.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that Clara is one of the first companions to do as she is told.
Yeah, and not in like a way that doesn't give her personality.
No, when the doctor says, just stay there. Don't touch anything. Don't breathe. Well, you can breathe, but just stay there.
Shallow breaths.
And we've seen it time and time, or like we see it then jumping ahead a little bit later on in the episode where I feel like any other companion would have insisted on going with the doctor.
They would have like scoffed or rolled their eyes or like,
yeah, but Clara just went, nope, I'm good.
Yeah, Clara's like, you are the expert here. I'm just along for the ride.
Yep. I'm just happy to be here.
Which, you know, it feeds in a little bit to the way that, you know, the very first time we see her, at least in the modern, her modern version of it, and not one of the Oz ones, is that she's calling an expert for help. And so she has a default to people who are experts, which, you know, there's a part of it that's really, I think it's an admirable quality.
That's a responsible thing.
Yeah.
Like that. That's not a like, oh, she's a good little quiet girl doing what she's told. But it's a like, oh, no, she's recognizes she is not.
Yeah. She's still got spunk and attitude and she'll like speak
stubborn,
her mind.
But she's not. But she's not.
Yeah, she's trusting and she defers to.
It's a respect thing.
Yeah, she defers to expertise. Yeah, so as a part of it, it's like, I do like that little trait. I think it's a fun little thing they gave her. And they also give her this moment where she, like, reckons with the fact that the doctor just traveled through all 6 billion years of the Earth's life from birth to death.
Yeah.
It gets to her in a little bit, especially because they do a nice little subtle thing where he comes up to take a picture in that spot. And you could tell there used to be some kind of city over what he's looking at.
Yeah.
But it's been like empty and it's dirt.
It's ruins. Yeah, it's effectively ruins. Ancient ruins, even though it's
a modern city
millions of years in the future.
Yeah. And so he takes his picture of that and it gets to Clara and you could tell that she's like, she's either about she's to disturbed. Cry or just like stopped crying. And she says, you know, to you, I've never been born. And also I've been dead for 100 billion years. We must all be like ghosts to you. Which is a part of it's like that. Is an interesting way of like at least thinking about how the doctor sees, because we had people joke that his companions are like pets, There's another one entirely where to think about them as like people who are so separate from him because he sees them as already alive and dead.
Well, because she even says, my body is buried somewhere out there.
Yeah. And he goes, probably, yeah.
But also not him knowing, like, oh, your body is actually inside of a doll egg.
Well, I mean, technically one of her bodies is buried there. Because
two,
Clara Oswin, the governess, is buried out in one of them, their graveyards. That
there are at least two Clara bodies and one is somewhere in space. That's not something you share with somebody, at least not on the first date.
Clara still doesn't know about this whole impossible situation. And so, and the doctor, this is the first time I think the doctor, like, I shouldn't say the first time, but this is, we get one step closer to the doctor hinting at it. And it almost sounds like a romantic vibe if you don't know the context, where he's like, you are the only mystery worth solving, which could be like a poetic look at the way.
Aw, that's so sweet. You don't understand me.
Yeah, it's so sweet that, like, you think I'm like some mysterious girl, or you think that all humans are like the greatest mystery you haven't solved yet. When really what it means is, I don't understand how you've died twice already and are still here.
How are you existing? Again and again and again.
And so they find out that, or the doctor comes back with his little slideshow of different pictures throughout time and shows them that it's actually someone just running, but they're trapped in the slow motion time pocket dimension thing, being chased by the crooked man, as you saw.
The crooked man.
And so the doctor has devised a plan to go to this pocket universe involving a crown from a different planet and some cake.
Hey, where did the cake come into play?
He ate it.
Did we see him eat it?
I think it's implied. He just wanted cake. But you know what? Mood.
I mean,
I always do my best science when I've had cake.
Zach, you don't do science.
That's because I don't have cake.
That makes sense.
I haven't had cake in a while. When you bring me cake, I give you science.
Hey, everybody.
You give me cake, I give you science.
Stop.
Cake science. That's the math.
I did appreciate the doctor's very good and then very bad bedside manner. Of Emma saying,
Will
it hurt? No. Maybe. Probably. Might be agony. I'm curious to see.
I'm curious to find out.
Where it was like, wow, he's doing such a good job. And there it goes.
That's when your doctor has great bedside manner, but also ADHD.
my current doctor has, I think, very similar thing, where after every ailment you tell her about, anything that's ever happened to you, she goes, thank you for sharing that with me. Like, are you listening? Or are you just, is that your auto response? Is just, thank you for sharing that with me.
And so the doctor devises this plan to, like, jump through a door into the pocket universe, which is just a forest.
Here's the thing. It was all three at once. It was the upside down, the astral plane, and also the twilight filter.
It was absolutely the... You better hold on tight, spider monkey.
You better hold on tight, crooked man.
You there, you spider monkey.
I will say, this might get me canceled. Doctor's kind of hot when he's afraid.
Yeah, well, he's got the ability to do what David Tennant did, but standing up, where he would like scramble over the floor. But Matt Smith can do it standing up.
It was also, here's the thing, too, is after he saves Hila.
Hila. H-I-L-A is the way you spell it, but I believe it's pronounced Hila.
Because he's able to save her. And I'm really glad that she just goes, yep. You're here to save me. There is nothing. There's no, why should I trust you?
She's like, what choice do I have? I'm lost in a forest that is getting smaller by the minute.
Yeah, it's just her going, okay. Yep. Let's go. And then after that, after he does the vigilante thing of letting her go through the portal first with the one, there's only one rope. There's only one harness. Then he's by himself doing a run amok. And I gotta tell you,
it's because his hair gets a little like floppy.
And his coat is flailing about all crazy.
And he's like taking his bow tie off, so he's got a button undone.
He's got like the wide animal eyes, very frantic.
Yeah, he's got a very expressive face. Yeah, so yeah, I totally understand that, at least, especially knowing your proclivities towards men in pain.
Hey. That's secret.
Can I tell you a secret, Cassie? It's not a very well-kept secret.
Zach, no! Who else have you told?
Everyone listening to the podcast.
No!
And our roommates.
No! Oh, no, and your mom! No! Hi, Sonia, if you're listening.
And so while he's trapped in this pocket universe, and so Clara's like, I should go get the TARDIS, and the TARDIS can go. And so, but the TARDIS won't let her in.
So it's what I like is that it is a team effort. It is a team effort, but nobody comes up with a plan. Both plans like coincide very well with each other because Hela and the professor all go to Emma and say, thank you for doing that. If you hadn't done what you did, she would not be here. I would not be here. You did good job. Please do it again. Meanwhile, Clara goes, I have to see the TARDIS. And then is talking to the TARDIS and calling her a fat cow, yeah, so, which is my favorite British insult.
Because she won't open the door. She won't open the door, and so she's like, let me in, you fat cow.
It's so hurtful.
It's really funny to say about a box. Like, can you imagine standing
in front of a fat... Well, it's funny saying it about a box, but also we know what the TARDIS looks like, ostensibly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
which I'm also kind of sad that they don't use that, like, figure to project ever.
Well, it is funny that the TARDIS does it this time to, like, throw some shade at her, because he's like... Through all the billions of images in my databanks, this one was picked because it thought it would be the one you'd liked the most.
It's just her.
And Clara takes that to mean that she's conceited, and she's like, you are a cow. I knew it. And I really like that dynamic, is that Clara's getting more emotional, but the TARDIS being part machine is just like as flat as can be. And this is like, yeah, I can't go into that because that pocket universe is dying. In 4 seconds, I'll be stuck, and in 10 seconds, I'll be dead. And Clara makes the very real point of like, I think what she's trying to say is, but it's to save the doctor. But what she actually says is, you're talking, but all I hear is
me when I'm very upset.
Absolutely a you moment.
I know it's infuriating.
The TARDIS does eventually let her in, and I like this little, like, cheeky grin she does where she feels like she and the TARDIS have, like, come to an understanding that they are doing
well,
this
to
save
the Doctor.
Well,
it's the way that the door opens with an audible, ugh.
Yeah, it's so much like, ugh, fine, get in here.
I don't know how a groan could sound so much like a door groan specifically could sound so much like a,
ugh. Fine, I guess.
Sure. If you say. And then that's when we get afraid doctor running amok and doing what he does best, a little monologue.
Yeah, and he's convinced that the monster is chasing him either to scare him or to eat him. What the crooked man really wants
is a friend.
Is a friend. Is
he just
some
wants
love.
A friend.
Is to get his is to get his to put his to stick his dick in something.
Ew.
And a crooked woman. Aren't we all just crooked men looking for a crooked woman?
I guess so.
Or maybe not crooked man or woman. I don't want to be homophobic. I'm not going to assume, but you know. we're all crookeds looking for not straightening. See, that still sounds like I'm being homophobic.
Zach, just stop talking. This is a joke that is not working. Let us move on. Because again, Clara doing what she know or like. Clara not being foolhardy and jumping in with the doctor means that she was able to go to the TARDIS for help.
And then the TARDIS uses the door that Emma is making to leave the pocket.
Because the TARDIS universe. Also never lands.
No, the TARDIS literally is just like, it doesn't let the doctor on. The doctor has to like grab the side of it and ride it out.
And the TARDIS, while Clara's flying it, is completely red.
She's
so
like, don't
angies.
Touch anything. None of my buttons. Don't touch my buttons.
She's so angry.
I like to imagine that like Clara tried to like push something and then like a hand just appeared and swatted it away.
Not a hand. It's just like I imagine like a robot tongue just.
It's just like
if she pressed a button, it made the sound like a. Like when you're trying to tell a dog not to eat a pill that fell on the ground.
And so they drop them off, and the doctor reveals that Alec and Emma are the great, 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 great grandparents of Hela. But he assumed that they figured that out already, and they were wrong, because they are two adults who are bad at talking about their feelings, despite one of them literally being an empath and her job is talking about feelings.
Well, because then the doctor also does approach Emma and asks her specifically about Clara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he...
What's your deal?
Yeah, who is she?
She's just this guy, am I right?
She's just a girl, an ordinary girl.
An ordinary girl. Just a sweet, pleasant, ordinary girl.
Like, he's traveled through time, and now he's talking to psychics trying to figure out who the heck Clara is.
I fucking love that. Doctor went, I'm stumped. Let's talk to the psychic now.
I've used all
it's not, it's, it isn't before long the doctor goes to witches.
I mean, it's only a stone's throw away, really.
Yep.
And then the doctor realizes it's all about love. It's all about holding hands.
It's all about friendship.
Yeah, he tells Emma and Alec to hold hands and never let go. And then he's like, wait a second. I liked his line where he says, I am slow. I'm notorious for being slow. And I was like, yeah, that's the thing you're notorious for.
Yep.
Scramble man. And so they go back and they go back to the pocket universe and like, come on, we'll take you to her. Come over here.
Yeah. As she's looking through the window and when the camera pans up, she just goes, ha!
I liked that you saw it and you went, no, there's not two of them.
I'm only angry because I know they look the same, but in my heart, I know that one that's in the house has like a pink bow on one of its sticky outie bits.
It looks the same, but it has titties.
No.
It's got
eyelashes.
It's got a butt on it.
It's got big juicy lashes and lipstick.
Lipstick on that top jaw because it has no lower jaw. Just teeth.
Hello.
Stop.
Oh, our darling, can we kiss?
Stop it, Zachary Michael. Stop. For those of you at home, he's making out with the air with only his top lip and teeth.
Yeah, it's an overbite. That creature has an overbite.
I hated that. I don't. If I could unsee something, it would be that.
Not the Crooked Man itself, my impersonation of the Crooked
Man. I can give credit to where credit is due. Crooked Man is a frightening image, but it was practical, and yeah. I appreciate practicality.
Yeah, and I don't know if this was Stephen Moffat's line or the writer's line, but this certainly feels like a Moffat line where it's like, oh, this isn't a ghost story, it's a love story. That feels like some Moffat-y bullshit.
It was the way that the episode ended with the doctor saying, and now all we have to do is jump. Okay, you Peter Pan motherfucker. We circled right back around to it.
So he's not even Peter Pan. Now he's doing Aladdin. He's hitting all the greatest Disney hits.
Yep.
Pretty soon there'll be an episode where he's a talking dog.
The Doctor is my favorite Disney princess. I always knew it.
I mean, and Shuri Gawa's Doctor is a Disney princess, for sure. Well, I think we talked about the whole episode here. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, Cassie?
We covered all my notes.
Yeah, we covered everything. Next week's going to be really interesting. I think the title alone might intrigue you because the next episode is called Journey to the Center of the TARDIS.
Whoa. Yes, I'm there. I love it already. Do we see the pool?
We will find out about that on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed? Invest in physical media because the streaming services really shot us in the foot here. I found out that it's not just in America, but multiple countries, including Spain, Italy, and Portugal, I think, and probably a bunch others. They all had their Doctor Who streaming services expire. I don't know if that's because Disney demanded the global streaming rights or if the show is going to need a new home and wants a bargaining chip. But we'll find out. Be sure you're subscribed to this podcast wherever you're listening now, because we're not going anywhere. Or if you'd rather listen somewhere else, you can find all the platforms we're on over at WIMDpod.com. That's WIMDpod.com. You could support us directly over on Patreon at patreon.com/whoismydoctor, where for as little as $1 a month, you can get episodes of this podcast a whole week early. Special thanks to our Big Daddy Dalek patrons, Andrew Blewett, David Gansel, and Travis Aiken. We will see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are still Whosdays.